Welcome back, everybody, to another fantastic episode of the Every Pokemon Episode Ever podcast. I am Wrestling Chris G from Sports Entertainment Breakdown, and today we are going over episode 17 in this series. So I'm going to keep up this gag because why the fuck not? So it's not only me today, everybody, but on the other line with me today is the shorter one of the two. It's good old Dougie Fresh. Dougie man, how you doing?
That's a dumb bit.
It is not a dumb
bit. It's a dumb bit, and you know it is.
No, it is not.
You know it is because you hesitated.
It's funny. See, I got you. You couldn't even keep a straight face.
You don't know what my face looks like. I could just be. I could be.
You're a stone cold face right now. You're just laughing, just like.
Yeah, and then he snaps back.
Yep. So, how you doing today, man?
I'm good. I'm really excited to do this episode. I feel like I've said it for a couple weeks. But I feel like these episodes are getting better and better.
They are. I mean, this one somehow is an unofficial threefer, but... I mean, it's unofficial threefer, but it could be its own little episode in itself as well. I mean, it is kind of funny because we get some Pokemon translation for the first time. And I believe it's the only time, unless there's an episode in the future I haven't seen yet. But yeah, I really like this episode.
Yeah, and this is a concept. Well, I mean, you kind of just said it. They don't really touch on the idea of Pokemon being independent a lot.
No.
You know, I mean, obviously we encounter wild Pokemon, you know, every episode, but like
we never get their side of the journey.
Yeah, no, I mean, this is like some proper Lord of the Flies stuff.
Yes.
You know, I mean, obviously we'll get into the circumstances in a minute, but it's just, it's not something we see. And it was nice to kind of see that, you know, I mean, obviously I don't know how far it got, but they could almost have done like a independent show off of it. I mean, obviously this is just, you know, maybe what, 10 minutes out of a 20-minute episode, you know, altogether.
Yeah. Well, I may have spoke way too soon. So I guess in itself, almost every single Pokemon movie, there's a Pikachu short where the story revolves around Pikachu and the Pokemon and does not revolve around the trainers and the Pokemon, always end up into some like mischief type deal.
Yeah, no, and now that you say that, I do kind of remember that, those shorts.
Yes. So I spoke way too soon because I'm sitting here thinking to myself and I'm like, wait a minute. No, they do this for, well, they don't really have subtitles for the Pokemon, but the Pokemon, you can basically watch them be Pokemon and just be so entertained by what they're doing. And you know what they're doing. And they do a good job with the body language, as you stated off air, that the Pokemon do.
Right.
So today's episode is called Island of the Giant Pokemon, or translated from Japanese, it is Island of the Gigantic Pokemon. And this aired in Japan July 22nd of 1997 and aired here in the States September 30th, 1998. So what we like to do is we like to go and look up historical events that happen on the date that this aired, not the year, but on the date. And Doug, are you taking the first or second swing with today's event?
Once again, I'm taking the first swing.
All right.
And that's actually more apropos than I realized as I said that, because on September 30th, 1934, Babe Ruth has his last game at Yankee Stadium.
Oh, shit. Really?
Yeah. Not a very memorable game. He goes 0 for 3. So not exactly, you know, like hitting a walk-off home run on the bottom of the ninth. But, I mean, by that point, he'd established himself as one of the great, well, probably at that point,
the greatest. Yep.
Baseball player. And I mean, still, you know, you could make arguments, you know, and, you know, we could be here for 2 hours on a different show. But, you know, 714 home runs, you know, started as a pitcher, you know, decided he liked hitting way more.
Off the top of your head, Doug, and you don't have to answer this if you don't know this. I know I'm putting you on the spot, but what is the record right now for home runs in a professional baseball game?
You mean by like one player?
Yes.
Like in one nine-inning game, or well, maybe not nine innings, but in one regulation game?
Yes.
I think there's a big old log jam up top at four. I don't think anybody's ever hit five.
Gotcha. Okay.
I mean, I've done it in the video games.
Well, that's just your normal Saturday.
Right. I mean, that's just, you know, roll out of bed, you know. But yeah, no. You know, sometimes when we do these on this date, you know, we have to do a little bit of digging. This one was right at the top of the sports category. I don't intentionally go for sports. I mean, it might feel like that the last couple episodes. But this one was there, and I was like, that'll work. So here I am.
All right. So for me this week, as you know, I like to go with TV stuff. And on this date in 1991, Jerry's Springer's tabloid talk show, The Jerry Springer Show, debuted on TV. Wow.
Wow. That is it, now, and I have a question, and I guess I should have looked this up when you said that's what you were doing. Is it? It's not still going.
No.
Okay, I didn't think it was. But it just ended recently, though. It's not like it's been off the air for like 10 years.
I mean, not for 10 years. It's been off the air, I believe, the past 3 or 4 years now. Jerry Springer looks really, really old. He actually has a TikTok, and I saw him TikToking a couple months ago during the pandemic. And, yeah, he looks really, really old now. And I was shocked because I hadn't seen a more recent Jerry Springer. But, I mean, he looks old, but he looks good. So, I mean, but that show went on for years. Like, you are the father, or just...
No, that was Maury.
That was Maury, but no, Jerry Springer had that on a decent amount of his episodes.
Now, motherfucker, Maury, that was... You knew that was going to be a good episode, because that was straight... And then you got... Motherfuckers acting an absolute fool when they weren't.
Oh, I told you I wasn't the father. Okay, but that's another show.
That's another show. We'll have to find that. We'll have to find that air date.
Yeah, we do. But Jerry Springer, he had strippers. He would have people just acting a fool. It was a talk show where you didn't know if it was real or not real, because you would have these people on there and then they'd go and start fighting on stage, and people would start going, Jerry, Jerry, Jerry. And it's real cool. I mean, it was a good time. It was, I mean, I shouldn't, or me and you both probably shouldn't know as much about Jerry Springer because of how young we were, but the fact that it was on Fox for us, and they had this stuff on just regular TV, the same channel that I would be watching Power Rangers on. You had Jerry Springer on there. So I don't know. every kid in our era has to have caught at least a couple episodes of it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to remember when it was on. Like, when it was at its peak. I think it was on at, like, 3 in the afternoon. I don't know why I remember that. But, like, Fox had a really kind of... I could almost
schedule.
I could if I really wanted to sit down, I could probably get through till I could probably start at like 2 in the afternoon and I could probably get to 7 on what they used to have if I really wanted to sit down. but obviously, you know, once again, that's another show. But yeah, I mean, my favorite thing about that show was, you know, you watch, you know, strippers and pimps and little people fight for like 55 minutes. And then he sits down and has this really deep final thought.
Just and I was a like, conversation with him.
And I was like, motherfucker, you.
He was the, I'm going to have people laugh, I hope, at what I'm about to say. But he was the Mr. Rogers for, like, the pimp.
Yeah, I mean, and he never really, I mean, there was a couple times where he kind of snapped and, like, kind of got aggressive with the guests. But he just kind of said, he just kind of usually walked in the audience and just kind of poked the bear.
And just watched what happened.
And then he had the security guards get in there when the stuff got too rough. But he was a snidely little motherfucker.
Yeah, but wasn't what's that guy's name that has a show now? Steve-O or
Steve Will
Wilco.
Wilco, yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Steve Wilco. Yeah. He got his own show and he was the security guard on the Jerry Springer show. So, I mean, good for him.
Yeah, I mean, you know, good for old Jerry to kind of throw somebody a bone.
So yeah, that's my historical date. I liked your historical date. This was a good historical date segment. Let's go ahead and so we like to also go through the Who's That Pokemon of the episode. So
yeah, I'm curious because the episodes I watched, they don't have that. And the two episodes I watched recently, I've kind of been racking my brain as to what they would be.
So the one today for Island of the Giant Pokemon was none other than Slowbro.
Oh, really? Even though he was only in it for like 2 minutes?
Yes.
And yet I got in trouble for suggesting Gyarados could have been the Who's That Pokemon last week. Cool. Yep. Good stuff. Awesome. Swell.
feeling a little salty there, Doug?
No, not at all. Not even a little bit. Move on.
Yes, Slowbro is the Who's That Pokemon of this episode. And then here we're going to start diving into what you all are here for. The review or recap or the talk through or just us poking fun at what's about to happen in this episode.
So get it. Poking fun.
Yes. Get it. Yeah, I get it. Get it. Okay. Get it. All right. So So we start this week's episode with a recap of the first two episodes prior or well. Actually, no, not the first two. We start with a recap of the last 30 seconds of last week's episode, where you have these Gyarados surrounding Ash, Misty, and Brock, and they all get their little tornado going and completely obliterate the shipwreck that they were sitting on and threw them all up in the sky. They were all holding hands, and then they all separated. The Pokemon went one way, and Ash, Misty, and Brock and Team Rocket went a different way. And that's where we start on today's episode.
Yeah, and see, this is why I honestly think that this could have been like the last part of the Saint Anne trilogy. Because if you just watched this episode in isolation and you had something mess up with your VCR or whatever, and you didn't catch, you know,
last week's episode,
Shipwreck and the Battle on the St. Anne, or I might have got the order mixed up, you're going, where the hell is this tornado coming from? Because they pick right up.
Yes. So they pick right up, and I'm going to, and normally I don't do it this soon, but I'm going to have a freeze frame, okay?
Yeah.
So do you have the episode up on your end, Doug?
You see, what had happened was I had to move it to my checking and my savings. That takes 3 business days. It's already 4 o'clock.
Well, it's 9:53, so I don't think you're moving anything. So we start this episode. So right after they say Island of the Giant Pokemon, and they give the nice little intro into the episode, at that second, I freeze the frame as soon as the episode starts. I think there's a dead Slowbro somewhere on this damn island.
Oh, for goodness sakes.
And the reason I say that is there is a, you know the tip of Slowbro's tail, right?
I do.
So there is one just buried into the sand as Ash, Misty, and Brock are now just basically knocked out on the sand. So I just want to point that out. If someone wants to hit us up on the good old Twitter machine or Reddit, by all means, just let us know. But I believe that Slowbro's tail got taken off at some point, and Slowbro is no longer a Slowbro. It's a Slowpoke again, and he's extra sad.
Is he, though?
Well, yeah.
Can a Slowbro be sad? It took Slowbro 5 minutes to turn his head around.
The fact that we find out not even Pikachu can talk to a Slowbro, because Slowbro just has no emotions, it seems like, it's just funny. But I mean, we find out later on in the series that a Slowpoke can actually be very fast, and a Slowpoke can actually be fairly witty. That's the word. He can actually be pretty witty going forward, because I mean, I saw the King's Rock episode where he turned into a Slow King, and that Slowbro was just extra fast and happy.
Well, yeah, he evolved, you know.
Well, yeah.
You know, you get that post-evolution energy. Yeah.
Well, Slowbro didn't get that at the end of this one, but okay, we'll get into that. So we start this week's episode. Ash, Misty, and Brock are laying in the sand. They got thrown from the tornado. They landed on the sand, and no, they did not get penetrated by a sharp shell, because this is a kid show, and they're not bleeding because this is a kid show, but they are.
Yeah, tell me that next week.
Oh, I can't wait to do that. Yeah, it is a kid show. But Ash wakes up. 6:30
in the morning. It's a kid show. I've watched. Anyway, that's for next week.
So we start with them all laid out, and then Ash is the first to wake up, and he looks over at Misty and Brock, and he's kind of baffled. I mean, he thinks that Misty and Brock might be dead. He shakes them awake, and he's screaming at them. So, and Brock is like, "How did we survive that cyclone?" And Your answer is as good as mine, because, Doug, how the hell did they survive that cyclone?
Because it's a kid's show.
So, and he looks down.
That's how. It's a kid's show.
And then he's looking around. He's like, where's Pikachu? And then he looks down at his belt, and he only has 2 Pokemon on his belt, all the rest of his Pokemon went flying as well. So Pokeballs.
Ah, you're trying to be slick. I hear you. Flying. And the only two Pokemon he has left on his belt are Butterfree and Pidgeotto. I got you.
Yes. Yes. You're a quick one this week. For as late as it is that we're recording right now, you are very quick today.
Yeah, that must be it.
You drank that coffee this late, didn't you?
No, fuck no.
You'd be up all night.
I want to go to sleep at some point.
So he looks down and all he has is Pidgeotto and Butterfree on his belt. I mean, we don't know that officially yet, but those are the only two Pokemon that are on his belt. And he is freaking out. He is about to lose his shit. So,
yeah, I mean, you would be too, I think. You know, I mean, you know, we talked about how he acquired those Pokemon, but those are his Pokemon. And it's like, all right, I just, you know, it's like you or I, if we, you know, I hate to say it, but if we were, you know, ever in a car wreck or anything like that, you know, once we make sure that everybody we're with in the car are okay, what are we going to look for? We're going to look for our phones.
Yes, we're going to look for our phones and make sure that we can call someone and let someone know what had just happened.
Right. I mean...
No,
go ahead.
So we go straight from that. This episode is going to be very clunky, everybody. I'm just letting you know because the episode was made kind of clunky. So we go straight from that to we know it's Team Rocket face down. Well, not even face down. Their legs are straight up in the air and the whole rest of their body is under the sand. And a Krabby comes crawling over and just pokes at them and just gets this sly look in his eyes and just pinches the mess out of both of their thighs. And Team Rocket just does this heroic jump. I don't know how, but they must have just pushed their hands from underneath from where they were buried in the sand up, because they jump up as if they're like jumping with their feet, but they're jumping with their hands out of that sand.
And that's funny. That Krabby was so happy with himself running away. He was like, cause he was happy enough to do it. But when he got the desired reaction, he was like, I got him.
He's like, I'm about to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. You're not watching me. Are you? Nobody's watching me.
Nobody's stopping me.
So I'm gonna fucking do it. Whack. And then Team Rocket just jumps up, and then when they come down, they're just sitting in front of one another. They're looking around at the island and they're like, could it be? And then they start crying and they hug each other and they're like, we survived. And just all happy that they're there. And then themselves, they look down and there's no Meowth and there's no Pokeballs for their Ekans and their coughing.
Yeah, and we kind of got a little bit insight into, I don't want to say how they were raised, because, I mean, they did say, you know, my birthday and Christmas, so we don't know. But apparently you can just be given Pokemon as gifts?
Yeah, so... They were both given these Pokemon at a, I'm guessing, maybe a couple years prior to this episode. I mean, I'm guessing that because, I mean, we get a future episode, which is actually not too far off from where we're recording now. I have to take a look at it. But we get the Christmas episode where Jesse and James get different gifts and stuff, but it's before they get their Pokemon. So yeah, they must have just recently got these Ekans and Koffing, probably I'm gonna guess about 3 or 4 years prior to this episode.
Yeah, I think I don't know if I go that far, because in my head and I mean obviously we're looking too much into this, but in my head those Pokemon evolve in 3 years.
Not all Pokemon. I mean, not they've only been really trying to steal Pikachu for just a couple months now at this point. And prior to that, from the way that they battle, I don't think they really have. They're like the Bulk and Skull of Pokemon. Like they're very witty sometimes, but then they can be very, very, very dumb. And I don't think that their Pokemon, especially from what I gather from what the Pokemon end up saying in this episode when we get further, that they really train these Pokemon all that well. Because not even Ekans and Koffing, like when we get further, they don't even classify themselves as bad Pokemon. They're just loyal to their trainers.
Right. They make that abundantly clear.
Yes. So, all right. Let's see. So, it's at this point as well that that Team Rocket realizes that they're penniless. And let's
Pokeless.
See.
Penniless and Pokeless.
Yeah, penniless and Pokeless. And on this island, they end up finding a telephone booth with a really, really, really long wire coming from the bottom of it. And people that are new to this and don't know what a fucking telebooth or telephone booth is, it's a big block that you go inside, which you can't do these days because you would be afraid of COVID. You open this door, you go inside, there's a big old book on the inside, and it has every single person's phone number that's in the United States of America in alphabetical order. And you find the person that you're calling, you put money into this machine, and you have a whopping about 5 minutes to talk to this person. And if that person hangs up, or if the phone call disconnects or anything, you lose your money.
Well, you get some of it back. If it ends early.
Sometimes, but if you're only paying 25 cents, or sometimes, well, I guess it depends on where you're calling, because I remember back in the day having to put like $1, $1.50 into a telephone booth just to use it.
Oh, yikes.
Yes. So, but yes. The telephone booths were a thing in the 90s, but when they go over, oh, actually, no, we're not that far yet. So, all right. So after Team Rocket finds this telephone booth, they find out, or they state that they are penniless again, so they can't use it. And then we flash over to Pikachu, and miraculously, Ash's three Pokeballs landed right where Pikachu landed somehow.
Isn't that just damn convenient?
Yeah. Right there.
You know why it happened?
Why?
Because it's a kid's show.
Yes. Because if this was an adult show, these Pokeballs would have been scattered all around the island, and Ash would have had some bitch of a time trying to find these Pokemon. And one of the Pokeballs would have been cracked.
Yeah. Probably, and I don't want to think about what would actually happen to a Pokemon.
Well, the Pokemon would be released out of its Pokeball.
That's true.
So, but Pikachu looks down at all three of these Pokeballs and goes over and just taps this and goes, "What's this? Ash's Pokeballs." And just taps it out and says, "Come out, everyone."
I don't know how I feel about Pikachu actually using Ash's name. I don't know what I would want him to call him. But that hit me weird when Koffings and Ekans do it later. Yeah, I don't know what I would expect Pikachu to call him. Just him saying Ash.
Yeah, well, they're friends, dude. They're Ash says Pikachu is his best friend, which, I mean, I don't know what that's to say about Gary, but Ash does not end up. Yeah, you never see someone in this series, at least as far as I am so far, and I'm in the 300s. I think I'm on like in the 370s right now for my episodes. And I have not once seen someone that has known Ash growing up, besides Gary. It's made abundantly clear that Gary and Ash both were very competitive growing up as kids.
Yeah, I mean, obviously they make mention of the other trainers from Palutown, but we don't get into them.
No, not you know, at all.
So it's Ash, Gary, and two others, right?
Yes.
So, yeah, we don't get into those other two. I mean, and obviously you're a little further ahead than I am, so maybe they have shown up and you just haven't realized it?
I have speculations as to who these other trainers are. There are things that happen within the series that make you think that these trainers might have come through, and I don't know. Like the guy, like the kid that abandoned his Charmander. I fully believe that guy got his Pokemon from Professor Oak. I think he got that Charmander from Professor Oak. I don't know why. I just that's just what I firmly believe.
So you think that Australian fellow was from Palutown?
Yeah. Because I mean, I don't know. I mean, there's no other way to really within the Kanto region. I can't think of anything else where Ash could get a Charizard unless, I mean, he got it from, I couldn't even say, because there's an episode where it's basically like an island of Charizards.
Right.
But I don't think that this guy even got that far. So, and he seemed pretty young in that episode that we reviewed. I don't know. Like, I in my heart think that he was the one that had the Charmander. And the only one that we don't know was accounted for was the Bulbasaur.
Right.
Because Gary got the Squirtle.
Right. Which we don't actually know. We only know because we were curious and we looked it up.
Yes.
I mean, and it, you know, it is confirmed, but like in the show, and if you're watching along with us, well, I mean, you know it now because you heard us say it, but you know, as a kid, you know, and you don't know.
No. I mean, it does get confirmed in an episode when they're battling in one of the Pokemon leagues because Gary's Squirtle has evolved all the way up into a Blastoise. Yes. And he's using it. And that Blastoise is some bitch. I'll just let you know that. But all right. But yeah, Pikachu releases all of these Pokemon. And I don't know how I feel about this. Because if your Pokemon is inside of the Pokeball and you shake the Pokeball, does your Pokemon really get dizzy? Because all these Pokemon come out of the Pokeball and they're like all like gassed out. Squirtle's rubbing his head. Charmander's breathing really hard. Like, I don't know. I mean, they all look just beaten from that tornado that they were in. And Pikachu's like, are you all okay?
And, like you said, Charmander and Squirtle are kind of shit. Bulbasaur kind of no-sells it.
Yeah.
I was like, all right, Bulbasaur, we get it. You're hard. We get it, you know.
Yeah, Squirtle's like, I felt better. And Charmander's like, I'm all right. And Bulbasaur's like, I'm just fine.
Yeah. he's just fine. He's a meat, you know.
So... And then they all are looking around at the island just like the trainers were doing. And they're like, what is this place? Are we lost? Where are we? And Pikachu is just like, I don't fucking know. But then they look over at this Slowpoke that's just sitting on a rock. And this is like, this is one of my favorite scenes out of this whole episode. Pikachu, Charmander, Bulbasaur, and Squirtle walk over to the Slowpoke.
Okay.
Just Pikachu and Charmander.
There it is.
Okay, my bad.
Well, all Pikachu. Right, now we got the episodes in front of us now.
Pikachu and Charmander walk over to this Slowpoke, and Pikachu's just like, hello. And Charmander goes, could you tell us where we are? And Slowpoke is just laying there, just stone face.
Might have been stone.
And Charmander goes, can't you hear us?
He gets slower.
Can't you hear us? And then Pikachu's like, where are we?
And he just...
can you help us out?
Yeah, right.
And Slowpoke is just laying there. And Slowpoke gets up, backs up on this stone, puts his tail into the water. And Pikachu and Charmander just look at each other. Bulbasaur and Squirtle are just sitting back, and Squirtle's like, it is sure peaceful here.
This shit ain't bad.
Like, this shit ain't bad. I'm having fun here. And Bulbasaur is already looking like he's about to take a nap. He's like, sure is. And they're just sitting under a shade of a palm tree. And we go immediately from that to nighttime, where all four Pokemon are being led by Charmander with his tail, trying to find out where they are.
And, Pikachu's concerned, Charmander's concerned. Squirtle's a dick, says they all got eaten.
Yeah, he's like, what if they all got eaten? Pikachu immediately put him in his place and goes, don't say things like that. You gotta think positive.
And I don't know where Bulbasaur's attitude comes from here.
What do you mean?
Well, because he's the one that says maybe Ash forgot about us.
Yeah, well, he's the one that's been on the journey with everyone. He's the one that's been on with them the longest.
Yeah, he was first, and then it was Charmander. It was Charmander first, and then it was Squirtle. So yes.
So Bulbasaur has been with them the longest, and I don't know. And Pikachu immediately goes, yeah, Ash would never abandon us. He's not like that at all. Like, why would you even say something like that, Bulbasaur? And then this is where, of course, Ekans, Koffing, and Meowth landed all together themselves as well, because it's a kid show.
It's a kid show.
And... me, this is just hilarious what is happening. So Meowth is like, oh, Pikachu and them are all here and they're all by themselves. I can go over there and I can capture Pikachu, and jumps out of the damn bush and is like, Pikachu, are you ready? I'm gonna capture you. And everyone just looks at him.
It just goes, and, oh, it's just Meowth. Meowth just says, ah, you know, does the anime faint.
So, but this is funny. Meowth thinks he's just all big and boss and looks at Koffing and Ekans and tries to demand them to go over and battle with Pikachu and the gang. And Ekans and Koffing aren't having any of it. They're like, yeah, you're not our master, so we're not fucking listening to you.
Which, you know, is fair, you know. I mean, yeah, if you got down to brass tacks and it really was like a Lord of the Flies situation, Meowth probably would be high on the totem pole because he can speak, but at the same time, he's kind of a bastard. And we can see that these Pokemon are capable of you know, coming together.
Yes. And what about Ekans' face to Meow when he just swayed his head back and forth, just going, "You not master."
That is not my job.
And Coffin is just bounced up and down, just going, "Yeah, you're not master. Not at all." And Meow and Ekans is like, "I only obey master." So, and you said, okay, it kind of explained to me, Doug, you said that kind of hit you the wrong way when they said that. Why is that?
Yeah, well, it's just like, and it's something that's kind of, I've kind of thought about since we started talking, and, you know, we had the discussion about, it was kind of weird, Pikachu calling Ash, Ash.
So, it's just... I don't know. I mean, like, if they don't call them by their names or call them master, like, what would you expect the Pokemon to really call their trainer? Trainer?
Well, but see, that's just as clunky. It's just kind of weird, I guess. Now I'm kind of flipping because it's like, why aren't? Because obviously, Koffing and Ekans are familiar with Jesse and James' face. So why wouldn't they know their names?
True. So, but yeah, they're like, master is master and you're not master. So we are only going to obey our master. And that's when Meowth turns around. Pikachu gets a big dick swinging and goes, "Yeah, so Meowth, are you sure that you really want to fight all of us all by yourself?" And we kind of cut from that to a big dinner that all the Pokemon are having. And Meowth is like, "Aren't you going to give me some of the food?" Squirtle looks over and goes, "Are you going to apologize for what you said?" And Meowth goes, "I never apologize. I'm not apologizing." And Meowth just looks over. Squirtle looks over and just goes, "Okay, well, no food for you." And then they all just continue to eat.
He eats that apple, core and everything.
Yes.
That's not good for you.
I mean, it could be.
It's not.
It's not, but I mean, it could be.
10 minutes. It's not. It could be 10.
So, all right. But we actually get a deep conversation going. I'm not going to go over every last bit of the conversation, but we get a scared moment from these Pokemon when these Pokemon think that they might have been abandoned by their trainer.
Yeah, because you know, Bulbasaur is still on the abandoned tip. And he gets it in everybody's, except for, you know, Pikachu. You know, Pikachu's, you know, absolutely not. And, you know, obviously Charmander's, it's not going to take much to sway him because motherfucker almost died on a rock.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was established that the Squirtle were abandoned and they formed together. But Bulbasaur was wild. Wasn't he?
No, not on this part. So it's at this point, they're all talking. And then a big, huge Rhydon appears while they're eating and has red eyes and all and just goes, "Rah!" and just stomps. And this Rhydon is like 12 times the size of a regular Rhydon, just all sorts of just big
old son of a gun,
massive. So, and all these Pokemon at that point just start running, and Meowth is still tied to the damn tree, and they all just run past Meowth, and basically they're like, yeah, fuck you. You, we're out of here. And Meowth is like, wait a minute, somebody come back and help me. And Pikachu has morals, of course. So Pikachu unties Meowth.
Even though last week he wanted him to drown.
Yeah, pick a lane, Pikachu.
Yeah, really.
Well, not even last week. Just a couple 24 hours ago, Pikachu was pushing him into the water.
Well, no, I mean, but I'm saying last week in terms of that was last week's episode.
Well, yeah, I know. I'm speaking timeline wise within the Pokemon. It's only been 24 fucking hours.
Pikachu. If we start doing that, we realize we've only been technically doing this show for like 2 weeks.
Yeah, well, we have.
Or something, because wasn't it when they got to Vermilion City, they said something about the fact that they were in that forest for like 2 weeks or something?
Yes. And they all needed a bath.
And yeah.
So, but Meowth is utterly surprised that Pikachu helped him and then just gets all cocky and goes, I could have just helped myself. Like, you son of a bitch.
I mean, that's classic, like, heel tactics. He's like, well, I would have figured it out.
Yeah, I didn't need your help at all. So, and just walks right by Pikachu, and Pikachu looks back up at the Rhydon, not scared anymore, and goes, where are you, Ash? They're again acknowledging Ash as his trainer and by his name.
And then we cut to Ash, Misty, and Brock being terrorized by a giant Zapdos.
Okay. In reality, if you had landed on this island, would you not be scared shitless as to everything that's going on around you?
Well, yeah, now I suppose I would be, but I'd like to think I'd be more, well, I'd be more concerned about figuring out where the fuck we were. And then I would be exhausted when I saw the giant creatures. I'd be like, well, of course there's giant creatures. Why wouldn't there be giant creatures?
These giant creatures are going to fucking try to kill me. Of course they are.
I mean, I might as well.
And why we know, and I'm going to try to depict this episode a little bit, and it's probably going to hurt my head, but I'm going to try.
Careful now.
So I know, but okay. So they're on this island, right? And we know, at the end of this episode that all these Pokemon are not real. They're mechanical. Okay. So I know I'm kind of ruining the ending, but
good night, everybody.
But what the fuck is a Zapdos going running rampant this late at fucking night for shocking electricity out of his damn body? And the Rhydon.
What? It's an island.
Yeah, but what we... I mean, I know... I'm not going to ruin what or who funds this island or what this island is all about, but why are they working this late at night? It's not fucking Disney World.
True. And it's never really explained.
No.
I mean, we get like the briefest of something towards the end, but it's not like you don't turn the episode off and go, okay, that made sense.
So, yeah. Yeah. I don't get it.
Well, like you said, you know, you start picking at stuff and stuff falls apart.
But Brock looks at this Zapdos. And, of course, the three of them don't know what this Pokemon is. But Brock is like, that is one of the most fantastic Pokemon that I have ever seen. And... okay, so and this is another part where I just kind of want to depict this. So obviously, the person that built this island knows what a Zapdos looks like. Okay,
right.
Why has this Pokemon never appeared on TV to where everybody knows what this Pokemon is?
Well, they shouldn't, right? Because a Zapdos is a legendary.
Yes. So, and that's what I'm getting into. So this is an island, which we're going to find out other people are going to be able to go to. And these Pokemon are running rampant on this island. So everyone should know what this Pokemon is. So why doesn't Ash, Misty, and Brock, especially Brock,
evolve? Especially Ash with his Pokedex glued to his hand.
Yes. And I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of holes I can poke. But then at this point, Brock looks over at Misty and Ash and just goes, "This island is very, very dangerous. We need to find cover to sleep for the rest of the night. And then in the morning when it's light out, we will go and try to figure out where we are." And Ash has this heart-to-heart moment just going, "Pikachu, I hope you're okay." Like, disregard all the rest of your Pokemon. You're just worried about Pikachu?
Well, he was the first.
Yeah, but Bulbasaur, what about Bulbasaur?
He'd be all right. He's tough.
What about Charmander?
Well, Charmander, yeah. He almost died. He almost died yesterday.
Charmander almost died yesterday. I mean, he almost died 2 weeks prior. Like, Charmander's not having a good month. No wonder Charmander became a dick later on. Charmander's like, "You almost had me die so many times. I'm not listening to you."
Well, you know how we were when we were teenagers.
Yeah. Hey, fuck you. I listened to my parents. I was a good kid. So we go straight from that scene to another scene where a fucking Moltres is flying over Team Rocket and flamethrowering down at them, almost putting them on fire. Like, what the fuck kind of dangerous ass fucking Pokemon do they have on this damn island? I think this fucking Moltres was a real one. I don't think this one. You know what? I think the legendary Pokemon in this episode, fuck it. They're fucking real. And they were trying to fucking kill these kids on this island.
Yeah, I mean, it would have been simple. I mean, I don't know where this falls in the timeline of, like, Jurassic Park. Because, I mean, that was a simple enough premise, right?
Yeah.
This was Jurassic Park. I mean, you know, it was a...
Well, they just snagged the Titanic last week.
Right. So, like, it wouldn't have been out of the realm for them to throw out another pop culture reference if it would have fit in the timeline.
Exactly. So, yeah, they Team Rocket's getting chased by the Moltres, and then they run and smack dab in the middle, just because they were looking behind them, into a sign that says "Keep Out," and Moltres just flies over them and just keeps going.
Right. Let's see. I gotta catch up with the.
And it's at this point that we get the "Who's That Pokemon?" which was Slowbro.
Right, because 5 minutes is enough time. Then we cut. Then we cut to what could best be described as a tiki bar. Randomly out of fucking nowhere.
And it has a whole bunch of food, and these Pokemon are just kicking it. I mean, they're sad because Ekans and Koffing are sad because they miss their trainers. Pikachu's playing the therapist and trying to console them. Charmander is just eating his food. Bulbasaur looks like he's been drinking a lot because he's trying to fight with Squirtle. Meowth is passed out on the table. This is a great ass scene.
This is a Saturday night, boy.
And then you have a damn Slowbro in the back. There we go. There's a fucking Slowbro. So there is more than one Slowpoke on this island.
Oh, okay.
So there's Slowbro in the back cooking up all this food and being the bartender to these Pokemon, which I think is weird. Once we get to the ending of this episode, I have a lot of fucking questions. Like, why the fuck is there a damn tiki bar with a slow bro? I don't know. We'll get there. But yeah, it's just a random moment, and there's no dialogue going on between all of the Pokemon. It's just a tiki bar. We fade away to black, and then we wake up, and all the Pokemon are just laying on top of each other, like surrounded by Ekans.
Yeah, they're a big old pile. Pikachu wakes up first.
Then we shoot over to Ash, Misty, and Brock, and then Jesse and James, and it's basically within like 2 seconds you see everybody waking up, and it's now morning, and everybody survived the night.
Right, and you know, our heroes are back on the search for the missing Pokemon. Jesse and James book it for the phone booth.
Oh my God. I cannot, like, when what's about to happen, I cannot believe that Team Rocket did this. Oh my God.
And it was Jesse that did it.
Yeah.
Like, she's supposed to be the brains.
Oh man. So they go into this phone booth, and then they're calling Giovanni, their boss, by collect. So first off, it's early as hell. I'm guessing it's like 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning because sun's just now coming up.
Right.
And they're calling their boss collect. And as they're calling the boss collect, he wakes up and tell them, Doug, what Jesse says that they need to do during this phone call.
Well, they need to do the intro.
And they have a tape recorder in their pocket, and they play the music in the background, which was just the funniest part to this damn episode. One of the funniest.
And, you know, so they do the intro. When they get to the Team Rocket line, they maneuver the phone cord into an R. Giovanni's got more patience than I would.
He listened to this whole thing.
Yeah, I would have, as soon as the music started, I would have hung up on him.
he said, if you ever wake me up like this in the morning ever again, you are fired. He just hangs up the phone on them. just hilarious. So at this point, Jesse gets the bright idea to take the telephone cord that we saw about 10 minutes ago in this episode and start pulling it. And then if they pull it enough, they will find civilization. So.
Yeah, and James has a legitimate question that doesn't get really acknowledged. He goes, where's this going?
And Jesse doesn't have an answer to that. She just says, it'll be the civilization. It'll go all the way down to the phone company.
It'll go down to the phone company. You know, cross the ocean and everything.
I mean, fuck it. I mean, they can't drown. They're in a phone booth.
Yeah, it'll float. They'll be all right.
You know, I kind of wonder if a phone booth would float in the ocean.
I'll bet you if we did some digging, I'll bet you Mythbusters did something like that.
You think so?
I'm almost certain. They've done something with phone booths.
Well, yeah, they put a bomb in it and they blew it up. So we go straight from that scene back over to all the Pokemon, and all the Pokemon are calling for their masters. Pikachu's calling for Pikachu, Squirtle, and Bulbasaur, and Pikachu, Squirtle, Bulbasaur, and Charmander are all calling for Ash, and Ekans and Koffing are calling for Master.
Yeah. Let's see. Yeah. So the Pokemon, you know, they're all, yeah, like you said, they're walking, and it's a real quick cut because the Pokemon are walking. Our heroes are calling for the Pokemon. They're calling for everybody now, you know, so calm down. He's not just calling for Pikachu.
Yes.
And then Team Rocket are dragging the phone booth across the beach.
And they see a Pikachu.
And they say, well, that idiot's coming right for us.
Oh, let's get out and catch it.
And, you know, they get out and they've got the phone wire, you know, because they're apparently going to strangle this Pikachu.
Yeah.
And
a lot of things, like, and it's a reoccurring thing, but a lot of things within the first season where you kind of like look at it with one eye and you're like, did that really just happen on this kid show? Yeah. You're really going to strangle a Pikachu to capture it? Like, yeah.
To be fair, they don't have their Pokemon. They can't battle it.
Remember Ash? He got a stick.
He got a stick. And he threw a rock at his spirit.
Yes. So Team Rocket was going to kill Pikachu and give it to Giovanni and then get fired and never see the light of day again. I would love to know what Giovanni would do if Team Rocket saw them face to face, like at some point later in the season, because Team Rocket never sees Giovanni face to face. He's always over the phone.
Oh, that's right.
Like, they're never in the same building at all.
Well, but he's the big boss.
He is the big boss. But at this point, yeah, Pikachu comes over to them, and Pikachu crosses them, and Pikachu is about maybe 100 times the size of its normal self and just scares the living shit out of Jesse and James.
Kills that phone booth.
They think it's a mirage. Like they honestly think that it's so hot there that they're looking at a mirage of a Pikachu because they want Pikachu so bad.
And then we cut to our heroes diving out of the way of a giant Charizard, which is the shot from the intro.
Yes. A lot of scenes from this episode is actually in the intro, which I think is pretty funny. Like, a lot of scenes.
Yeah, it's kind of weird because, you know, this is the 17th episode, so they're kind of digging. I think they had, I mean, obviously it paid off, but, you know, they must have had some high hopes for this show if they're going, it'll be around in 17 episodes. This will make sense when they get to it.
Yeah, well, I believe that they were, when it finally came out here, and actually, I'm gonna do something.
We were behind the eight ball in North America.
Yeah, I'm gonna, because this Pokemon had, let's see, 52 episodes before the movie. So, let's see, 1998, yeah, by the time... Pokemon aired here in the States, they were already done with season one in Japan.
Okay.
Because Misty actually already had her Togepi. Let's see. So the movie, it says to watch the movie right after episode 52. So that's what I'm going to go off of. So, looking at this, episode 52 aired July 16th, 1998, and Pokemon premiered September 8th of 1998 here in the States. So yeah, they're already past the first movie, the first season. They're far, and yeah. I guess it must have taken quite a long time to finally catch up here in the States, because as of right now, I think we're only behind like 20 episodes now.
Well, damn.
Yeah. So we've caught up quite a bit to the Japanese. I want to get to the point where we will have episodes. Well, if they keep up this Netflix deal, I don't think they'll have much of an issue as long as they can get it dubbed over. But I want to get to the point where, just like I'm a big fan of Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z and all of those series. They're on Dragon Ball Super now, but they're at the point now here in the States that 24 hours after it airs in Japan, it airs here in English.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're that close within episodes. So I love it. Love it, love it, love it.
So we cut back to the Pokemon. And they've encountered a giant Blastoise. And because Ash can't be there with his Pokédex, Meowth has to go, well, that's a Blastoise. That's the final evolved form of a Squirtle.
And Pikachu says, go ask him for directions. And Squirtle's like, all right, I mean, I'll try.
He pops out of the bush and goes, my man.
Nice weather, isn't it?
And they all faint. I mean, that's good.
Now, okay. These mechanical Pokemon must be able to hear. Like, they must have some type of fucking technology inside of it. Because Squirtle talks to this Blastoise in fucking Pokemon speech. And as soon as he talks to Blastoise, Blastoise turns around and aims his guns right at Squirtle. And Squirtle's basically like, oh, shit, is what I think about to happen. And Blastoise does Hydro Pump at these Pokemon.
And they run.
And then they encounter a big Venusaur, and they ask Bulbasaur to, they're like, hey, go talk to Venusaur. You're like family. And Bulbasaur is just not having any of it. He's like, yeah, you can call me an orphan.
Like, I'm an orphan. And Charmander's like, well, that's a good point. Squirtle goes, he's a coward.
Because at least Squirtle went over there to talk to Blastoise.
Yeah, but we saw how well that worked out.
But let's kind of look at this for a second. So when Bulbasaur said, I have no family, and Charmander sitting there clapping going, good point. Like, wait, hold on. Then what, Ash is not family to you?
Well, family is subjective. You know, I mean, there's the family you're born with. There's the family you make. There's the, you know. Well, yeah, but, you know, it's Bulbasaur. Bulbasaur is hard. We've established this.
Yeah, but Charmander agreeing with him?
Well,
Is this the turning point of Charmander looking at Ash a different way?
No, the turning point was when he evolves
into Charmeleon. It just burns Ash to a crisp.
Just doesn't give a shit about nothing until he encounters that Aerodactyl.
So, all right. At this point, like I said, this episode's all the fuck over the place. So we go from that to Team Rocket racing towards this cart, and they jump into this cart and pull the lever.
What are they being chased by?
Let's see. They weren't being chased by anything at this point, but now
the hell
they're
they
going,
weren't.
Oh no, they were. It says, because I was about to say the Kabutops started chasing them now, but they said, oh, we're going back the same way we came. And a big giant robotic Kabutops is behind them. And they're like, oh, we're going back the way we came. Switch this thing. And as they're going through, the wire from the trolley wraps around the Kabutops' leg and starts dragging him.
Right. And so they're dragging this Kabutops. Let's see.
And they try to stop the train because they're dragging Kabutops. And as they try to stop the train going at high speed, mind you, they try to hold on the brake and they break the emergency brake.
And Ash and company are on, they're like a level above them. And their ground starts to shake. And as the trolley's going down the tracks, it's picking up speed and it's dragging the Kabutops, it picks up the Pikachu.
And Ash, Misty, and Brock drop into the trolley.
Right. The ground beneath them falls. They drop into the trolley. They spot the Pokemon across the way from them.
Because now they're all being chased by Charizard, Blastoise, and Venusaur.
And then we go up a loop-de-loop with no seatbelts.
Yeah.
It's my goddamn nightmare.
Like the day I put you on the Raging Bull.
Yeah, you fucker.
Hey, at least you can say you rode a roller coaster in your lifetime.
Yeah, and that'll be it.
Oh, yeah, they
Splash go. Mountain, that's it from now on. Just
Splash Mountain?
Splash Mountain, that's it. Maybe Space Mountain if the line's not too long.
Space Mountain's a good ride.
Yeah.
I like Space Mountain. I'm going to ride that.
So they go through the loop.
All of their Pokemon jump into the cart after they go through the loop. So they now all have their Pokemon back. You get this fantastic moment of Pikachu jumping into Ash's arms.
We get Jesse and James crying that they're reunited with their Pokemon. They're concerned about Meowth for about a second until he pops up. He's not in the cart. He's hanging on to the cart.
Yes. They really care about him.
The giant mechanical Venusaur, Charizard, and Blastoise get upended. So they're dragging everything behind them at this point.
They're causing so much damage to this park.
Jesse and James and Meowth are calling out what's going to happen to them because they're the bad guys and they've been through this before. So they're like, well, the cable's going to snap.
And then it snaps.
And then we're going to get launched in the air.
And then they get launched in the air.
And we're going to blast off again.
No, he says, and then we're going to crash into something, and they crash into that Zapdos.
Oh, they crash into the Zapdos.
And at that point, Brock is like, wait a minute. This Zapdos is made out of metal and bolts.
Yeah, I don't like that it took that long. Like, he went through it and went, hey, wait a minute. Like, duh.
Oh, shit. Okay. I got this next part. Were you going to tell this next part, Doug?
Go ahead.
Okay. So after they went through the Zapdos and they're hurling towards the ground, Zapdos falls into all of the other mechanical Pokemon that were on the ground being dragged, and it explodes. And then we go straight from that to what sounds like a tourist guide inside of a boat that's in the shape of a Gyarados going, and if you look over to your right, you will see, and then she just stops and then goes, well, this park is closed due to temporary, what does she actually say? She goes, let me see. We apologize, everyone, but our giant Pokemon are temporarily unavailable at this time. And then she calls Giovanni, who we end up finding out he's the one that is sponsoring this park. He purchased this park, and he gets the bad news that everything has been destroyed within this park. And he goes, I spent millions on creating this park. And that's basically the end of the episode until we get to Ash, Misty, and Brock getting to their next stop at did they call it Acapulco?
I think so. I mean, I don't have the volume going, but I think so.
Let me see.
No,
Porta Vista,
yeah.
So they walk over to this beach basically, and it's Porta Vista, and they start running towards the beach, and that is the end of this week's episode, and we're actually gonna pick right back up after this episode, straight into our next episode, which is called Beauty and the Beach, which is our very, very first banned episode that did not air until 2 years after this. This episode aired, and they considered it a lost episode, and they did a lot of editing to take out the adult themes that were in that episode.
And it should have stayed lost.
Yeah, well, don't give away your assumptions yet, because we're legit going to be the very first Pokemon podcast to review this episode. I mean, you can find reviews on YouTube and different things like that, but when it comes to podcasting for Pokemon podcasts, we are the first podcast to review this episode. Are you excited, Doug?
No.
Well, tell everybody how you really feel.
Well, so, yeah.
So, all right. But yeah, that's this week's episode, Island of the Giant Pokemon, or translated from Japanese, Island of the Gigantic Pokemon. So, do you have anything else that you would like to say before we head off into the sunset and get ready for this next episode?
Yeah, I think you can ring the new favorite bell.
Okay. So this is one of your favorites.
I didn't think I was going to enjoy it as much as I did. Maybe it was because I didn't exactly remember the episode, and then,
that's always good when you don't remember and you just look back on it and you're like, well, damn, this was a good episode.
I was like, oh, this is the one where they're independent and we actually, like, get some dialogue that they have to, like, do subtitles for. I was like, oh, shit. Yes. Yeah. So, yeah, this my new favorite. So, it moves past Electric Shock Showdown. So, that lasted a couple episodes.
Yeah. But we all know that this next episode, Beauty and the Beach, is going to be your all-time favorite.
No, this one might be going the complete opposite.
Oh, man, I cannot wait to review that episode with you. And also, I'm going to throw this out there. We have a special announcement on our next episode that we're going to be telling all of our fans coming around the winter holiday.
We do?
Yeah.
All of that, okay.
Oh, you forgot already.
Well, it's been a minute, you know.
So we have an announcement, and we will talk about that on the top of the next episode. So make sure that you are listening and you download that episode. And if you haven't already, hit that subscribe button. Doug, do you have anything else to add before we end today?
Yes, the special announcement is we're transitioning to a Digimon podcast.
Oh, no. Fuck no.
Okay.
No, I can't do that. I respect Digimon and I'll watch Digimon. But it's hard for me to depict that because my childhood, I tried watching Digimon so much and I couldn't get into it.
Yeah, I don't. I have a vague memory of watching a movie.
Yeah, I went to the movies to watch it too, and kind of wish I didn't, but it is what it is.
Well, yeah, I mean, at this point.
So. All right. Well, then say your goodbye, Doug.
Goodbye, Doug.
And this is Wrestling Chris G signing out and telling everybody, listen to next week's episode.
Or don't.
Because shut up, Doug. You got to hype it up.
I really don't want to talk about this episode.
So
this is my Clefairy.
Yeah, this is your Clefairy episode. I can tell already. So, and we're going to be done with this episode real quick because there's not much that happens in it. But
that's the problem.
So, everybody, listen to next week's episode. Go ahead and hit that download button because it's the very first banned episode in the U.S. that was banned for 2 years. 2 years before they can get some good editing around. So, I know. So, all right, everybody. Beauty and the Beach is next week. Have a good night and sayonara.